stage, the men will go along and chop the tops off and put them in heaps. I think now, Ark, we'll bring the livestock into it, and it comes across that you were very proud of your brother and his Suffolk flock.
Yes, well, because he was older than me, and he started work at 14, like I eventually did, and he started work on the Valley Farm. And there were a few old sheep there, sort of a commercial flock, and he started looking after them at 14. And he took to it right away, and he started looking after them as if they were a flock. Although they hadn't got any good grub, like, you know, they had to feed sprout stalks and remains of sugar beet tops and things like that. But he tried to build up a flock. In fact, he did do so to a nice 200 sheep and ewes, 200 ewes. And he went on to started to clip the tails and all that sort of thing, and he really took to it. And I had the job sometimes when I started work to help him, and I had to hold the sheep while he trimmed the tail. And actually, it didn't really matter whether the tail was trimmed or not, but he was taking that interest even at that young age. And then he eventually moved on to a Suffolk flock, which was one of the best in the country, as an under shepherd, and eventually married a shepherd's daughter. And then later on, a lot later on after the war, he had a Suffolk sheep flock of his own, and travelled the shows, and sending them, well, I won't say all over the world, but several different countries he was sending sheep to, and different people come from other countries to see him. Won the flock award several times, and also what he used to do was do topiary, which was in his job. He had a nice thatched cottage that he lived in, and a long garden down to it, which is Lawshaw near Bury St Edmunds. And he started topiary with his shears, his hand shears, and a lot of people used to come and have a look at that. Sheep and ducks and all sorts of things, and dogs cut out. And he really enjoyed that. And yeah, and his granddaughter is still looking after some sheep.
Ah, it's a nice story. And a worthy flock of Suffolks as a result. Well, then along came that awful thing that spoiled so many lives, Second World War. And you, as a farming lad, they thought it was best if you stayed on and fed England. Tell us about the Second World War.
Yes, well, the main thing was that we had to grow as much stuff as possible, which is unbelievable now. I hate to see these fields left uncultivated. It don't seem right to me, but I don't understand all the arguments about it, but
I don't think some of the politicians do either.
No, I don't think they do, but it's just terrible to see some of the good land to waste, and just seeds, weed seeds all over it. And no, I don't like that at all. I think if I was a farmer, well, I don't know, I was never a farmer, I was only a farm boy. But if I was a farmer and this set-aside business, I would rather move out than see my farm as a set-aside. I couldn't see that. But
so your job was to get as much food out of that ground as possible.
That's right. And we had to help to get the parkland. Some of the old oak trees were a nuisance in the middle there. and get the parkland ploughed up and cultivated. And we hadn't quite got the sophisticated tools that they got today to get rid of the turf. We had to do the best we could, and that was the main thing, to grow as much as possible on even in the gardens. Dig for victory, they said, and that's what we had to do. Yeah.
Well, we're looking, as we spoke there, jet aircraft roared by, and in the distance we've been looking at aircraft taking off from the Ipswich airfield. But as far as you and the farm were concerned, a couple of stories relating to aircraft, near misses and the like.
Yes. I remember when I was looking out, I started looking after the sheep when my brother left, and I was looking after them early one morning during the war, near the railway line, the main London railway line, and well before breakfast, because we used to start work at 6:30, there was this machine gun fire and Spitfires and Hurricanes up, probably a dozen or 15 of them looked like. I could just see them up towards London Way, and there was some machine gun fire, and presently one went down smoking, and actually that went right down, pilot was killed. And all of a sudden there was one came over the wood right over the top of me, right low, so low that you just couldn't see anything, only just a big black air. Well, it wasn't so big as it turned out, but it looked like it to me. And of course I thought that was a German plane naturally, and I froze. But however, it went over a big blackthorn fence into the next field, and I grabbed my 12 bore, which I was in the LDV. I grabbed my 12 bore and jumped on my bike and went along, and I stood on the stile, the lower step first, and then the second one, then the third one, and I couldn't see it. And then my brother-in-law came along in an old lorry, and he said, "Where is it?" I said, "I don't know." And we went further along the lane and round the corner, and there was this Hurricane that had been shot down, and although it was practically undamaged, that was in the field beside the A-137. And the chappie, he came along, he was brought along to the garage man at the top of Worsted Street, and to phone, because there weren't many phones about in those days, to phone for help. And he eventually took off again, but that was a Hurricane, and there's been quite a bit about a short while ago in the papers about that, but that was quite close to the A-137 where it went down. And apparently, what I could hear of it, anyhow, there was a little bit of a mix-up there, but unfortunately one pilot got killed.
Well, one happy side of the war, Arthur, the Land Army girls hit Worsted, and along with them, Barbara, who, apart from being a smashing wife to you, I know, also makes a lovely cup of tea. I'm looking forward to another one of those in a minute. Yeah. But good times then when the girls hit town?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, of course, I was an old farm boy, you know. But, of course, we had animals, so I knew what things were all about. Anyway, we had one or two of the Land Army girls, like Barbara did, come down on the farm and stayed there in lodgings and worked on that particular farm. But there were gangs of, I hope they don't mind me calling them gangs, they used to come in an army lorry and potato picking or anything like that, or helping the sugar beet or whatever. A whole gang of them would come, perhaps 20, to help out on the farm. And some of them were billeted in some of the old houses around the countryside, yeah. So, yes, they're quite happy, and any that I've met several in later life, you know, they say, "Oh, yes, I was in the Land Army, and I went so-and-so, I chopped sugar beet, and I spread muck," and, but they all, I haven't heard anybody say that they didn't enjoy it. Even though they got blisters and backache, they all enjoyed it.
I must say, I've spoken to a few, and yes, they say precisely the same. Damned hard work, but happy times.
Yeah.
Well, you were married during the war, and you had a guard of honour from your LDV colleagues.
LDV, yeah.
Then you moved into your little new home, and something that made me smile, you had the only flush lavatory.
Well, yes, that was unique, really. That's gone now. we were about 20 years before time, I think, with that. This was built down the garden, like all the little toilets were. This was built down the garden over the stream. There was a double seat, a small one and the larger one, and the stream ran completely underneath it and right down into the River Orwell.
Well, the years crept by, and you became more and more senior on the farms and more knowledgeable and well-respected around the patch. And then, as happens to all folk who last that long, you retired. You've mentioned your dismay, your anger at the state of some fields, what was set aside and the like. What would you say to a lad thinking of going into farming now, Ark?
Well, they're not... they won't need so many now. But, yes, if he's got that in him and would like to do it, do it. He won't have... I don't think he'll enjoy it like we did. Because for a start, he'll be in a queue cab. He won't hear anything. We were on the old standard Fordson. We got the old Seagull, perhaps, we were a target for them sometimes. But they were all squeaking in a row behind us with the old plough. Actually, you could hear the plough turning the soil over on the stones. I know there were wet days, cold days, but we had a corn sack around the shoulders. And even the wife driving that old standard Fordson with the spud wheels, she really enjoyed it. I don't know whether she really enjoyed swinging it on the cold morning and putting the 5 gallons of paraffin up the top and filling it up with water. But now I don't think they're going to be more college men now than I was. I mean, the spraying business is chemicals is a real important part of farming now. With pigs, I mean, well, we had pigs in an open yard. Well, now they're beginning to come in the old-fashioned way in what I call arcs, pig arcs out on the field, and they're nice to see out there. But otherwise, yes, if anybody feel like seeing something grow, which is the main thing in farming, and especially favourite crop was sugar beet, because an all-corn farm seems so all-on-top sort of thing. I like to see a good field of sugar beet, and they look really as if you've got something. And they have been a good crop all through the years. My old uncle that I was talking about earlier was one of the first to grow them around here, and he always used to drill them by the April the 10th, or roundabout start drilling April the 10th. Well, of course, that's all gone by the board now. But any of the youngsters who can get a job on a farm and really think they like the land, well, yes.
Arthur Boast, recounting his life in Worsted. It was a real pleasure yarning with him, and I hope you enjoyed it too. My thanks to him and his wife Barbara for a splendid tea. There's just time to mention the National Ploughing Match being held this year at Gravel Pit Farm at Burwell. It's on Friday and Saturday, October the 11th and 12th. Horses get a look in too.